Welcome back to the Dotted Lines podcast. My name is Sam. Alongside me is my co-host Drew. We are two young moderates looking to get into some political tomfoolery. And ladies and gentlemen, we are finally back with a new episode. Drew and I have been very busy with getting ready for college and all our applications. And finally, we found a little break in the action where we can get down to some political tomfoolery and talk politics. Today, we have a different country we're talking about entirely, not U.S. politics at all, because it's been a little dry. We're moving to Canada because it's gotten pretty hot up north. Not something you usually expect.
Yeah, and wow, hearing you say those words in your intro is like a breath of fresh air, because it has been at least a month since we did our last episode where we talked about the things going on in Afghanistan and all that. And I don't know anything about Canadian politics, so this should be a learning experience for me as well as our viewers here. So Sam, let's start off here with just a general overview of what happened.
All right, so before we start, I do want to give a little treat to our viewers, from one Canadian to all our American listeners. Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all of us command. With glowing hearts we see thy rise, thy true north strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Bum bum bum. Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee. And for our French listeners, Oh Canada, traîne de nos aïeux, tronfront de saints, de fleurons glorieux. Car tant de bas de saint, de peu le saint Paul et la croix, ton histoire est une épopée des plus brillants exploits. God keep our land glorious and free. Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Go Habs.
Go Habs, go. Now, we appreciate you guys listening in there. My apologies for butchering the little French bit. If you are a listener from Canada, I think it was pretty damn good, but you know, whatever you want to call it.
You take French, I don't, so.
I speak at home, so hopefully, you know, hopefully that's not too bad. But I do want to jump into the Canadian election, because this is actually something I find really interesting. Not just because I am Canadian, even though that's why I think it's really cool, but because I think it's very different from the American system, which is so weird considering it's so close to us, especially us, Drew. It's a 4-hour drive, and there's a completely different political system just 4 or 5 hours away. So the way the Canadian system works is it consists of multiple parties, unlike the United States. So, of course, in the United States, you hear, you know, the Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, you know, I do air quotes on that, independent, libertarian, blah, 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 blah. And if whatever Trump decides to do, he might make a patriot party, quote unquote, or like a white supremacist party. But whatever happens, there's multiple parties in the United States, but in Canada, it's much more prominent. So the way it works is their government doesn't have a Senate or a House of Representatives. They have a parliament, which is essentially like a Senate, because they're elected like senators, which meaning that they are representatives, but they are like the size of the House of Representatives. So they have the same decision-making as the Senate, but they're elected like the House of Representatives. Do you have any questions about that, Drew?
No, is it kind of like, actually I do. Is it actually kind of like British politics.
It's exactly like British politics. Yeah. It is the exact same thing. So, yes, so we were a Commonwealth of Britain for a long time. Now we are independent, obviously, but for a long time, yes, we did follow the British system. And then I think this is one of the best forms of politics. So I see why they kept it, to be honest. So one thing that really sticks out to me, and it may not stick out too if you don't know what we're talking about, but there are the top three parties, which are the Liberal Party, the Conservative Party, and on a good day, the New Democratic Party, which is more of a middle ground, more like a Joe Biden-esque party. So surprisingly, that gets a lot of votes. But one thing that I wanted to point out, which is interesting and different from the U.S., is you think to yourself, if you follow Canadian politics at all or any world news, well, didn't Canada have an election 2 years ago? And shouldn't Trudeau not have to have a re-election until the year 2024? Yes, you're correct. And the way the Canadian system works is that any time during the prime minister's run, he or she can elect to do a new election do-over. And it's done within 2 weeks of that announcement. And the results are finalized. And depending on who wins or who loses, that right away, they become the prime minister. It's not like the U.S. where it's a waiting period. It's right away, the day after the election, boom, power switches, which I think is really interesting and really cool. But what I wanted to break down is the weird things that happen in this Canadian election. So the Canadian election this year, I'll read you the percentages of votes. So 31% of voters voted for the Liberal Party, 31% voted for Conservatives, 19% voted for the New Democratic Party, 16.8% voted for Bloc Québécois, 3.5% voted for the Green Party, and 7% voted for the People's Party, which we'll talk about later. They're kind of crazy. So what I think is really interesting is you have to win seats in this parliament to be elected. So whoever has the most, so essentially imagine it's like a House of Representatives split into five teams, and whatever team has the most seats gets to elect the prime minister. You get that, Drew?
So basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, so they have basically the parliamentary election, and then the people in the parliament get to vote on if they want Trudeau or someone else?
No. So here's what happens. The group, so these, the, that's a great question, by the way, I should have clarified. The people that are currently in parliament, about a year or so before the election happens, they will elect a representative. Okay? You understand that? So for example, right now, so after this, as of this election, 159 seats were won by the Liberals to the Conservatives, 119. So the Liberals have more power than the Conservatives right now. So the Liberal Party coming up on the next election in 4 years, they will pick someone, all of them will make a all of them will make a decision on who they want to be their representative. The Conservatives will do it, the Bloc Québécois will do it, the New Democratic Party will do it, the Green Party will do it, the People's Party will do it. Every single party will do it, okay? Everyone will do it. Then you do a re-vote, and whoever wins the seats, that person is elected prime minister. Understood?
Yep.
Okay. So what I think is interesting is you might be hearing me say Bloc Québécois and New Democratic Party and Conservatives and Liberals. Well, Conservatives and Liberals, we can pretty much get out of the way. It's Democrat, Republican. We just use a lot, we use more politically correct terms, right?
Right.
So nothing new. Red is red. Blue is blue. They actually flipped, which I think is ironic.
Yeah, I was just about to jump in there.
It's funny. Conservatives are blue and Liberals are red. It's just funny. But one thing is really cool is the Bloc Québécois. That is the party that represents Quebec. I did air quotes on that because they are a party that pretty much only gets votes in Quebec for obvious reasons. And their mission is to make decisions in parliament that best represents and best helps the people of Quebec, which I think is really cool, really interesting. So if you don't know this, in the 1990s, maybe a little bit earlier, 80s, when Bill Clinton was president, I can remember vividly, I remember his speech, Quebec, which is the French-speaking part of Canada, that's where my family is from, decided to break off of Canada because they felt that the English speakers of Canada weren't giving them a fair chance to be successful in Canada, which I think is really interesting. And they did a vote, and it was very, very close. And when I say very close, I mean like Bush and who did he run against? and Gore, that close, yeah. That close. It was that close of an election. And you're when I think about it, I was like, oh my God, this could have gone either way. I could be a Canadian citizen or I could be a Quebec citizen, which is so crazy. But anyway, a lot of, you know, people think there's a little like misconception, a little like, you know, playing with the results, you know, with every election, but they decided to be part of, they decided to stay with Canada for a very, very, by a very, very small amount. And out of that, you know, confusion and deception, the Bloc Québécois Party was born, which is a party that essentially makes decisions based on the best interests of Quebec. So when they get 33 seats, Quebec accounts for 40-50, that's more than half. So I think it's really ironic that they step in and vote, because they'll never win an election because you have to vote with Ontario, Alberta,
right,
BC, all these other provinces have to vote. Newfoundland. And yeah, and like there's like, and it's so funny because like you click in a random like town in Ontario and they won't even have a representative from Bloc Québécois, obviously. So they'll never win an election. So not to fear, Canadians. But I think it's really interesting the way they make decisions. Like I mentioned before, New Democratic Party is kind of like a Joe Biden-esque, like middle of the road Democrat. They're getting very, very popular and they're getting more and more and more popularity. In fact, in this election, they got more votes than they ever had before, which is really cool. But the funniest one is the Green Party. And you might be saying to yourself, oh shit, more Jill Stein. Wrong. This Green Party is funny because they actually get seats. They get 2 to 3. Last year they got 3, and that's the most they ever had. Now they have 2. But the most interesting thing about the Green Party, and this will make you laugh. So in Canada, the elect for prime minister, so for like I mentioned before, the person that gets elected to be the prime minister from each party is actually also a member of parliament. So for example, it's like if the Democrats had to elect a senator to be president, like president, mm-hmm. and they elect Bernie Sanders. Well, Bernie Sanders can be elected because he's already a senator of Vermont. And you go on and on and on. And essentially, the electee has to be a parliament member, has to be, you know, representing a place. And this is one of the first times this has ever happened. Annie-Anne Paul, who is a Quebecer, she ran. Actually, I'm sorry. She's not a Quebecer at all. I don't know why I read it that way. She's from Toronto, in Ontario. And she's the Green Party president. And like a moron, she ran in the center of Toronto, which is very much NDP and liberal. So like very Democrat, very liberal. She ran in the heart of Toronto, somewhere she probably wasn't going to win, and she lost. So their elect for prime minister lost. That is almost never happened. Ever, ever, ever. Right? You want, like, imagine you're running and you don't want, and you can't lose. For your party's sake, you cannot lose. Where are you going to pick? Justin Trudeau, he picks Papineau, which is his hometown in Quebec. Aaron O'Toole, he picks, you know, a very conservative place in Alberta, right? Najit Singh, he's from Ontario. He picks a very, very NDP part of Toronto. And then you have other guys like Bloc Québécois. They pick inside of Canada. Inside of Quebec. And all of these people, they get safe seats so they can at least be in parliament and they can get elected. But this girl thought she could steal a seat from Toronto and she lost.
So it's like Joe Biden, like, going, say, oh, yeah, I can win in, like, I don't even know, Wyoming.
It's and like then losing. Yeah. It's like Joe Biden running for a senator of Delaware like he was before at the same time as running for president, except for the fact that he lost his seat in Delaware. He lost the Delaware election, and then he lost the presidential election. That's what just happened. And that's why it's really funny, in my opinion. I think it's hilarious.
So you think it's a bad decision on Paul's part?
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. Right. And this goes out to the viewers. This goes out to Drew. I'm asking you directly. If you have a place, right, a very competitive seat that you'll get a lot of power winning, but you have pretty much no chance of winning, or a place with very little power, but you have a great chance of winning, which one are you going to pick?
Little power with a great chance of winning. And also, exactly. Another thing that we haven't really discussed yet, bringing it back to American politics, in 2022, we have what's called like a primary election where we probably, all the viewers already know this, but all like senators are up for re-election, House of Reps. But what I was going to get to is Donald Trump could run in that election and get a seat in like Florida, senator for Florida.
That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Like, that's a possibility that we haven't discussed yet. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's a very real possibility. And I, you know, one of the biggest things that I think was crazy about this election is you have Justin Trudeau, who doesn't have majority power. So essentially, the way to make decisions in Parliament is, you, like the Senate, you need at least, you need more than 50% of the vote. It's the same thing in Parliament. So if you give a majority, which means you have more than half the seats based on the election, then you don't need anyone else to accept or decline a law. You can send it your, like, you can send the law yourself. It's like, if there's more Democrats or more Republicans in the Senate, whoever rules the Senate is going to make the decisions. It's the same thing in the Canadian government. Whoever has more seats is going to make the decision, except for this time, there's more parties, which means that you have a chance of not getting a majority. So last election, the Liberals did not get a majority, meaning they had to have other people vote yes with them to pass a law, pass a bill. So Trudeau says, well, if I do this surprise election again and I have a good campaign, maybe I can snag majority. Well, guess what happened? He didn't snag majority at all. Like, at all. So he's now stuck. Again, he's stuck. And he's not going to do another one because it's cost a lot of money. And, you know, if I'm a Canadian citizen, I'm like, all right, I'm a Trudeau fan, but like, come on. You can't do three different elections. Like, at one point, I might just say, screw it. I'm going to go vote for the Green Party. I'm so done with you. Right? Mm. So right. He's kind of stuck now. And now he has, he's in a non-majorial party of Parliament, which means that he needs people to help him make decisions, which I think is really, really fascinating. And one of the craziest parts is pretty much throughout, let's see, I'll go back a little bit on our graph here. Pretty much throughout, the last time in Canada where the Conservatives were favored at all to win was March 2nd, 2020. So right before COVID, right in the midst of COVID, that's when the last time Conservatives were projected to win. Then during COVID, their highest percent, the Liberals had the highest percent of winning by 40%. So 40% chance for the Liberals to win, Conservatives had 20%. Now, surprisingly, right before this election, on September 12th, 2021, the Conservatives have a 32% chance of winning over the Liberals' 32.2. So, like, I'm sorry, the Conservatives have 32.4, Liberals had 32.2. That's how close it was. So for the fact for him to have the balls to throw on the surprise election and to try and push forward and try to gain a majority, realistically, it was a stupid decision. But thankfully, it didn't bite him in the ass too much.
I want to go back to the Quebec Party.
Sure.
Because as you were explaining it to me, I was like, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. This is against, like, you know, what, like, Canada, you know, what the rest of Canadians want. Mm-hmm. And then you explained to me that they were getting French-speaking citizens were getting, you know, I don't know, what would you call it? Like, less jobs? What did you say?
Sure. Yeah, so let me explain. So in Canada, the official languages are English and French. More of Canada, by a lot, speaks English. Pretty much the entire province of Ontario, the biggest province by populace, speaks English. Pretty much all British Columbia speaks English. So it's pretty much an English-speaking country with a little bit of French. So what happens is all these big conglomerate companies like Bell, Rogers, Tim Hortons, I know it sounds funny, but yes, Tim Hortons, they all speak English. They're all English-speaking. They're all from Ontario, BC. And they cover all of Canada. And they take and there's jobs that are also run by these big executives that all speak English. So when they go to Quebec, they were more likely to hire English speakers, and they were less likely, and they were not paying attention to the French culture, and they were kind of almost ignoring Quebecers, and they already kind of wrote them off as another part of Canada. They already had like a, because mind you, the Quebec has its own form of government. Like, it doesn't rule itself, but it has its own form of government. Don't ask me why. It doesn't make any sense to me, but they do. Because that's just the way Quebec works. So when this whole scandal happened about, you know, English people not giving jobs and people of Quebec not being represented in Canadian culture, and Quebec goes, well, we already feel like we're not part of Canada, right? Mm-hmm. And they wanted to split off and they wanted to leave. Like, fine, we don't need Canada. We can do our own thing, right? So that's what that whole election was about. And out of that election, out of that loss, there's a lot
remind you, it was pretty much like 51% to 49%. 51% said don't leave Canada. 49% said yes, leave Canada. It was that close. So of that 49%, a party was created called the Bloc Québécois to represent the province of Quebec in Canadian government more fairly and with a greater, you know, amount. However, what I find really ironic is the Bloc Québécois really doesn't put up any laws because they don't apply to all of Canada. They only apply to Quebec. So they don't really put up any new bills or laws to be voted on. And they usually vote Liberal anyway. So it's just...
Well, they're there to basically say or to stop any more, you know, people saying, oh, no, we'll only hire English speaking.
Or they only appreciate English speaking and not appreciate the Canadian culture.
Yeah. And they're there to, you know, be kind of like, it's kind of like how American Indians are in the House of Reps. Like they're there, but yeah, they don't.
For some reason, they don't get a vote, but yeah, they're there. That's actually exactly what it's like. That is exactly what it's like.
I saw your post on your story today.
Yeah,
I did.
So today is Indigenous like celebration day. In Canada, at least, it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Not Indigenous Peoples Day. That's October 11th. But in Canada, it's a really big day. It has to do with the children. We had a whole episode about this. The children that were found in the schools in Canada. And essentially what they did at these schools is they forced them to assimilate into white English-speaking Christian culture. And they were taking away all of their rights and all of their, you know, all their culture, all their what makes them. And that's, you know, absolutely mm-hmm. ridiculous. Today we honor those survivors. And one of the big colors today is orange. So if you can, whenever you listen to this podcast, it won't be posted today, which is obviously September 30th. It'll be posted probably a couple of days after that. But after you hear this podcast, if you could just do us a favor, Drew and I, and wear a little bit of orange on your outfit for that day. That'd be awesome. That really shows that you support these survivors and you support the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. So we do appreciate that greatly.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I did want to bring up one more party. This one makes me laugh. It's called the People's Party. It's run by Maxime Bernier. He is from Quebec. And he is a moron. So essentially the People's Party of Canada is, I don't want to say they're new. They've existed for a little bit. They've existed for a little bit of time under different names and different leaders. But essentially what they are is they're on the, definitely on the conservative side, but they're like QAnon. They're like QAnon. They're radically right. They're economic libertarians, and they hate COVID lockdowns. They hate COVID restrictions. They're essentially QAnon. They're essentially what Trump is. And it's really funny because it shows you what the other rest of the world thinks of these ideologies, right? So in the U.S., that, you know, I would say half of Trump's voters, that's what they're like. Let's say they're that kind of person, very right, very anti-vax, right. Very, you know, white. That's honestly white supremacist almost, right?
Right.
Okay. So that accounts for 10% of the U.S. votes, maybe even 15, which is a ridiculous amount. Ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. In Canada, not only did they not win a seat, they just barely got 7%. So that's almost half of what the U.S. gets. But the scariest bit is their percentage of voting went up. Went
is
up
it because of
Trump?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And listen, if you're Canadian and you think that you're part of the People's Party, come on down. Come on down to the U.S. because I'm sure you'll find a lot more people that have racist and radical left views.
Go to Nebraska, nothing against Nebraskans.
Go to Alabama, right? But I don't even want to say go. Honestly, just die in a hole, honestly.
Okay, so I just looked up vaccine stats in Canada, and they have at least one dose 77.7% of the population, and fully vaxxed they have 71.5%. So, so does that, I was going to ask this question. I was just going to look up that stat to make sure it's correct. Mm-hmm. Does the Conservative Party believe in vaccines?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Unlike the U.S. Radical Party is what I like to call it. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that makes me really upset. And this is why I think the U.S. should adopt a very similar parliamentary system. Okay. The problem with the U.S. is they have two parties, and there are a lot of people that don't necessarily identify with each other fall in this group. So these people that are like the People's Party of Canada, the very white supremacists, the quote-unquote patriot party that Trump's driving, people that should just go die in a hole, those people are represented as conservative and Republican. Okay, they're not conservative or Republican. Mitt Romney doesn't believe in them, right? I can think of a couple other senators and representatives that they're not like that at all. And in fact, I quite like them. Okay, in Canada, they separated them. They said, "All right, you're the People's Party. Go do you. Go be racist and don't associate yourselves with us. And in fact, go be you. But at the same time, we're gonna shoot you down. We're gonna throw you out in the middle of the forest, and then we're gonna go hunt you, right? Because they're right." So the thing is, you mentioned it was 77% of people in Canada are vaccinated, okay? The highest state in the U.S., the highest vaccination rate state is, believe it or not, Maine. You want to guess what Maine's fully vaccinated rate is?
I think it's Vermont.
Is it Vermont? You're right. Sorry, Vermont by 1%. Vermont. You want to guess what Vermont is? 69.4. With at least one dose, the highest is Vermont with 77. So Vermont is matching Canada. Vermont is matching Canada, mind you. Just Vermont.
And believe it or not, it borders Canada.
I could probably say the same for New York. I could probably say the same for New York, Vermont, probably not New Hampshire, and Maine.
Yes.
Like, it is so unbelievable. Like, in Alabama, like, 40% of people, less than half, are vaccinated. Like, I don't even want to talk about vaccines anymore. It's already mad. But you just see there's a big Drew and I brought that up to show the huge disparity between the U.S. and Canada, even though we are next to each other and practically touching.
I wanted to bring that up because of what you're saying about the People's Party. Not practically,
actually touching.
Yeah. And also how, you know, even though it's a Republican Party, a Conservative Party, whatever you want to call it, they still have human decency.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know? They still respect and they still have...
They believe in science.
Yes, they do. And so, for example, today, which is the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation for those survivors of the border, the residential schools, they made that very clear that they support to get rid of that. Or maybe not all, but most did. And that's, I don't think that's something you would see out of, you know, the U.S. Republican Party.
So I was going to bring up this hot take that I just thought of. So I almost think that it would be in favor of the country as a whole if Trump makes that Patriot Party, because that means we don't have to deal with another Trump again. Because if those People's Party stats are going to correlate with, the stats of America, wouldn't that be better off for the country?
I think
more,
no.
More like a Mitt Romney.
I think no, and I'll tell you exactly why. And I'll tell you why no one will support the People's Party U.S. edition. So in Canada, there are a lot less white supremacists. Racism is not deeply rooted. Let me rephrase. There is racism in Canada. There is, prejudice in Canada, very much like the U.S. and around the globe. The U.S. is a lot worse, because we've done a poor job educating the youth and educating each other on how to be kind to each other and how to support everyone and look past race. We've done a poor job of that as, the United States. Canada necessarily hasn't had to do as much. I argue that they still have a lot of work to do, like every country has to do. But with Canada, there wasn't as many... There was no slavery... there's a lot of racial tension in the U.S. that was derived from slavery, and that never really happened in Canada because it never really existed. And a lot of free slaves freed to Canada. So that deeply rooted racism that's been brought up through, white supremacy and, that you know, that youth. And this is how racism spreads. You think it spreads through word of mouth? Wrong. It spreads through youth. It spreads through dad or mom says something to their kid, and they bring it up, and they tell their kids, and they bring it up, and they tell their kids, and it keeps going and going and going until present day. But in Canada, they've had to do less because they haven't had that racism that's deeply rooted. Doesn't mean they haven't done enough, and doesn't mean they won't have to stop. Still, they won't stop working. They need to continue to work. But the reason why the People's Party isn't so big, getting back to my thought, is because there's no that deeply rooted hatred and white supremacy and those rightist views aren't really as prominent as they are in the U.S. And the reason why in the U.S. no one will agree to a People's Party like Canada is because those People's Party people, as of right now, are voting under the conservative banner. They're voting under Republican banner. So Republicans, if they make a People's Party, will lose a lot of votes. And those People's Party, so essentially, this is how you think of it. I'm rambling on, I'm sorry. Imagine you have a pizza, and you split it in half, and one side is Republican, and one side is Democrat. Now you take the Republican slice, and you split that in half now, right? But you don't split the liberal side, the Democrat side in half. So now Democrats are getting 50% of the vote, Republicans are getting 20% of the vote, and let's say this white supremacy party is getting 30% of the vote to 20% of the vote. Who's going to win the election?
Democrats.
The Democrats. So they're never going to agree to it because they're losing votes. But do I think that confining it and removing them from government is a good idea? Yes. And the U.S. has been doing that, not at an efficient rate, but they've been slowly removing representatives and, you know, people that have been involved and have these racial tensions. But it's really hard because the U.S. is so deeply rooted on these stupid documents that we wrote 200 years ago. And when we believe that when we elect someone, they are our representative and we cannot move them. But when you have a rapist that touched 16-year-old girls, and you have people that say they should be killing everyone that isn't white, how can you expect them to be good leaders and be good representatives? They're not. They're racist, they're assholes, and they should be in jail. Like, really? Like, I know you can't put people in jail for that, but they should not be in charge of a group of people. That's ridiculous. Oh, I'm sorry. I rambled on about it for a while. It's just because you're very worked up.
It was a good rant.
It's been very worked up. It was a good rant.
And also, just the last point here, because we're kind of getting long here in this episode. Sorry to keep you long, but this is very important. Also, with the fake election fraud thing, right?
Oh, my God.
You had Lindsey Graham even stand up for the safe election. Not the safe election. How the true election, and even Mitch McConnell. And those, like, I don't know, 20 senators were that Patriot Party. And then you have the other 30 or so senators being the people who actually stood up. And I don't know. I feel like I don't really know how to stop this cycle in the USA, because you have teachers teaching kids, and we've been bringing up Alabama a lot, so stay with Alabama. Like, you have a history teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're teaching
they refuse to teach the real history of America. They refuse to bring up slavery. They refuse to bring up Confederacy. And if they do bring up Confederacy, they say the Confederates won. And they don't talk about science. They talk about, you know, religion. And, you know, I know science and religion could cross a lot, but you can have both and function, and both can make sense. But you have this group of people that are deeply rooted in racism, and they don't want to fix it. As a country, we don't want to educate. I'll tell you right now how to fix a piece of racism, because there's a lot to fix, and it's a huge issue. But one thing you can do is set a unit that goes across the entire United States that teaches the real racism and what happens in this country and how black people are treated so poorly in 2021, not in 1960, not in during the Civil War, today, right now. And when you teach the youth and you show them it's bad, then you can move on. Not move on, but no, I want to say move on, but you can learn and adapt and realize that you're not being human. You want to be a nice, genuine person. You need to be nice to humankind, all humans. If you look at someone and the first thing that you see is their skin color or how they look, then you need to go look in the mirror and you need to understand you're racist. If you don't see someone for their personality and who they are first, sure, maybe if they're an asshole, then you're like, oh, that guy's an asshole, right? But if you see them for what they look like before who they are, then you're already in trouble. regardless if you want to be or not.
There's a lot of like jokes like that I've heard around school that like, you know, just like they're not serious, but some of them are. Some people that I've heard are like they say total like stereotypical things about other people in school and they laugh and I just stand straight face. I'm like, you kidding me, right?
And it's tough because there's so much social pressure on people to say something and not say something. If your best friend says a racial slur or says something that's not appropriate, it's really hard to speak out against them. But you have to find the strength to do so because you cannot let them continue, you know, that pattern, and you cannot let them continue to spread racism throughout this country. I know that's super off topic from the Canadian election, but there was a need to talk about it, and Drew and I just felt like we needed to get it off our chest. When we talk about Drew and I, it's not our favorite thing to talk about race, not because we don't feel like it's important or it's something that doesn't deserve to be talked about, because it absolutely does. But you know, Drew and I, as you know, people that live in middle to upper class white town, two white guys, it's really hard for us to fully comprehend and understand what racism is, and we never will. And I completely understand right. that. So as a listener, if you ever feel that we say something that is morally, you don't feel is morally correct or is not politically correct, or, you know, you don't think lines up with what we're trying to say, we really want you to reach out because we want to make sure we do the best for our community. We want to make sure we make the U.S. a better place, and you know, do what we can. And if that means we don't talk about it and we erase this episode, then we do so. And if that means we continue to share and we bring people on and we have episodes dedicated to race, then we absolutely will. But as a community, we would like your feedback so we can, you know, best address this situation and do what we can to make it better.
Yeah. And even like, I loved like one of our listeners the other day came out to me and said, Drew, I love your podcast, even when we haven't posted in 3-4 weeks because of college applications and busy with different things and the start of school. And we are going to hopefully be more consistent because I'm applying early action November 1st. I'm almost done with my college app, common app things. I don't know what Sam's doing. Maybe he's early action. Maybe he's
exactly
not.
Exactly the same. All early action. I'm almost there, buddy. Almost there.
All right, perfect. So hopefully you'll expect more episodes in the future. And with that, welcome back to Listen to the Dotted Lines podcast. Thank you for listening. And next episode will be season 3.
Yes, sir. This is the last episode of season 2. We're so excited to launch season 3 in mid-October. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Dotted Lines podcast. We want to thank you for listening to our political tomfoolery. You can find the Dotted Lines podcast everywhere podcasts are listened to. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, literally anywhere, we're there. We want to thank you guys for listening. We appreciate everyone.